Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We are in the throes of winter, where you just kind of never know if you're going to wake up to warm or cold, or no matter where you are at in the United States, it seems like. Everything is kind of turned around, especially when you're in Arkansas and you find out that Alaska is warmer than you. There's just something not right. But it doesn't matter, though. Because you can still dig in to God's Word. And I think that that is kind of where we're going today, just what God's Word has brought out. But before that, I want to introduce you to my guest today. It's Jill McSheehy. She is a wife of 12 years, a stay-at-home mom to two little, precious little kids. And she has been teaching a Wednesday night groups for mom for the last 7 years, and God has led her to do an online Bible study for the Isaiah 58 challenge. So we're going to back up a little bit and welcome Jill here. Hey, Jill, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine. Well, Jill, I want to kind of back up and get your story a little bit of how, you know, kind of bring us to date a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your journey with God.
Well, I grew up in church, and at 10 years old, I was saved. And kind of looking back at that time, I had a wonderful church growing up, and we learned a lot about spending time in the Word and spending time with God. And I just remember shortly after I became a Christian, doing a quiet time every day. I recall even as a teenager getting up at 4:30 in the morning to do a quiet time. And what's so funny about that is, like, who does that, right? So I really think that who gets up that early? So I really believe that in those early years, you know, God was really planting a seed in my heart for Scripture. I loved it. And then I graduated and on to college. I've always had a desire to be in ministry of some sort, but I never knew what that meant. And when I was in college, I did my first Beth Moore study, and it just ignited a fire in me that I wanted to do that someday. But I didn't ever really feel like there was an opportunity or a time that I was able to do that then. And graduated from college, and then I got a job, and I actually worked about almost 10 years at a Ford dealership, and got incredible amount of experience that, you know, and I started, you know, still active in church, but I'd always had this feeling that I would write some kind of Bible study, and hopefully I would do that, you know, someday eventually. And during that time, I felt like God was calling me to stay home with my children. My son Drew was in kindergarten, and Alyssa was in was two at the time. Well, when I felt called to do that, she was a baby. But by the time I was able to stay home, Alyssa was two, and you know, I was content putting off my desire to write a Bible study because I was a stay-at-home mom and that was my focus. And in February, after I'd been home about a month, I just happened to be reading through Isaiah. This was February last year. And Isaiah 58 just gripped me. And I can't really describe it any other way except I just knew I wasn't supposed to move on at that point. So for a very long time, I just read and reread that chapter and studied it. And I just felt like that there was something there God was trying to teach me. So I eventually just started studying it a little bit more. And we did a small group, an Isaiah 58 small group, that had women from, you know, four churches just together in someone's home. And after we did that, I felt like I don't think God's done with this chapter with me, or this chapter in Isaiah with me yet. So that's why I'm offering it online, and I'm still editing. I'm still, you know, God's still teaching me through it even now, having studied it for a year. So I feel like there's still so much more that I have to learn personally, and I'm really enjoying sharing it.
Mm, That's neat. Now tell us a little bit, when you were going through feeling that God was calling you to write a study, did you ever go through the emotions of, excuse me, God?
Well, it was just something that I had had a passion to do, you know, for, in some way. I wanted to do some kind of ministry or something in some way ever since I was little. I didn't really feel that way, because it's just something that was a passion from a very long time ago. It ignited something in me that I wanted to do. I didn't know what I was going to write.
Exactly.
I had no idea. So that was also something that's funny, that I always wanted to write a Bible study, but I had no idea what I was going to write it on. So, you know, being such an obscure chapter in the middle of the Bible was, you know, kind of interesting to me once I figured that out.
I think it's neat that, you know, God sometimes places a desire on our heart. You know, even that, whether it's writing a Bible study, writing a book, writing a song, even a poem, something like that, He may put that longing in your heart, but you don't quite know until He's ready for you to know. And I think that's really kind of neat, kind of interesting that God does that. So tell me, you can do this online. It's through Facebook, right?
Yes.
You're right. Okay. There's several women that are getting together. And tell me how it works. How is it going about? I mean, you're not once a week to meet, so how's it working?
Well, we just started on Monday, so we just began, but it's called a chat room, but it's a group page. And what I do is each day, and we'll be doing it for 8 weeks, but it's, you know, 5 days a week for 8 weeks, and each day I'm posting a daily lesson. And with that lesson, we have some discussion questions, and the women of the group can reply to those discussion questions on the page. And the group is closed group, which means only the other women in the group can see the discussion. So that enables a little bit more confidentiality and freedom to share, you know, what God's doing in our lives through the study. So that's the way it's working right now.
So have you found any surprises? Or difference between having one in a home or having one on an internet basis?
It is definitely different. When we did the same study, it was a different format. When we did it, you know, in person, we met together once a week, and we would spend 2 to 3 hours on it. So I've noticed in the online studies that it's been easier to digest, because you have, you know, you're doing just smaller studies every day rather than one big study every week. Having on the online format also helps those of us who are a little bit more introverted by nature and might have trouble, you know, expressing ourselves in a group setting. I think sometimes it's easier to do that. You just get several different perspectives, and you know, we've got people, I don't know where they're all from, because I don't know them all, but the ones that I know, you know, we would never have crossed paths otherwise, because we're all from different places. So that's been really neat to get to know everyone's story in the midst of the online study. That couldn't have been done otherwise.
That's neat. Now, tell me, there probably are some listeners out there that may... okay, we know the book of Isaiah. It's in the Old Testament. And yeah, there's a lot of chapters. But why Isaiah 58? What grabbed you?
Well,
give us a little bit of an overview of Isaiah 58, something that you go, huh, I do want to study that.
Well, I really can't describe it any other way than God just burdened my heart with the chapter. And you know what I think was funny is God has a sense of humor sometimes, because I remember in the midst of being a teenager and I was getting up early and reading through the Bible, and I specifically remember reading in Isaiah having no clue what I was reading when I was a teenager. And I even went up to someone in church going, please explain Isaiah to me, you know, and looking back at it now, it's so funny because, you know, I expected it to be so clear, but sometimes it's not. I think this particular chapter was so meaningful to me because so many of us want to make a difference for Christ, and we want to see people come to know Christ. We want to see we want to see Christians mature in their walk with Christ. And but sometimes it's hard to put feet to that desire and know, well, how do I do that? And I think this chapter gripped me because it really came back to the heart of God and what God desires us to do and be, most, you know, be as in our hearts as Christians, and realizing that the difference that we make will be an outflow of the change in our heart. And this chapter talks a lot about our hearts and where it all starts in the heart. And then from the heart, and we see God's heart, we're able to see that making a difference may look different than we thought that it would before. It's not as complicated as we might think.
Right. Well, I know today you talked a little bit about the nations in your Bible study for today. Wasn't that right, about the nations?
Well, the Great Commission, we looked at the Great Commission in the study today, yes.
Right, okay. I was like, I know I said that right. I know I said that. How does that tie in with Isaiah 58?
Well, it's funny because I think what you're referring to is a comment on one of the discussions that that one of the other women in the group, when she read that, she felt like, you know, she felt like this was saying, you know, go into all the nations, and to her that was a conviction that she feels comfortable with certain people groups and uncomfortable sharing the gospel with others, you know, and how that convicted her that the gospel's for everyone. And so a lot of what we were talking about today was that we as Christians, you know, we're on a mission with God. You know, it's his mission to reach people for him, and we're on that mission. And so that's pretty much what we've, sometimes I think what we forget about. We get so involved in church and in Bible study and doing things for God that we forget what the purpose is. We forget what we were called to do in the beginning, to begin with. And so I think to me this chapter is bringing us back to what's our purpose as Christians? What are we here for? So that's kind of what, to me, this chapter really did embody from the beginning.
Now, on my Bible, it has on there true and false worship. Is that this little headline, you know, that a lot of chapters have? So does this? How does this address, you know, true and false worship?
Well, the very beginning, well, from what I could tell in Isaiah, I was able to kind of dissect it into three parts. You have God calling the Israelites out on their sin, and then saying, you know, this is what you're doing, but it's not pleasing me. And then in the middle part, it's saying, this is what you need to be doing that's going to please me. And toward the end, it's his promises and what blessings he's going to bestow on us when we do that. Regarding the true and false worship, so much of what they were doing at this time was outward. It was for show. They didn't realize that their hearts weren't in a position to truly hear from God and to be in a, you know, repent of their sins. They had a false humility, and so God was calling them out on that and basically saying that their hearts weren't right. And so that's kind of where I get the true and false worship there. You see that in the first few verses, but about verse 6 to the end, he starts, you know, giving them specific things that may matter to him, and that those are probably the verses that pricked me initially, and then, you know, going back and realizing that what, you know, there are certain things that we do that are for show, and we don't realize it, and I needed to get to the heart of God and what he really wanted for me in my life.
I think that's wonderful, because there are so many times this world we live in has us going crazy every day. I mean, we're always running the rat race. We're always having to get up and do So our mind doesn't focus on what is of God and, you know, what he really wants us to do. And a lot of times we miss the point of living, you know, that vital relationship with God. And I think that's wonderful, you know, being called back into him. Now, is there a verse in there that just kind of grabs you, said, this is my memory verse for chapter 58?
Well, oh goodness, there's so many of them. I think that, like I said, the ones that gripped me, I believe, were verses 6 and 7. And it says, is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Those were the verses that stood out to me, because we want to please God. We want to do what he wants us to do. And I looked at those verses when I first read them, and it just was a clear conviction to me. I'm not doing this. This does not reflect my heart at all. And so I realized I've got a long way to go. If this is what pleases God, if this is descriptive of a person who is walking with God, I've got a long way to go. And that's really what convicted me. And then as I dissected these phrases and I looked at them more closely, I realized even in the midst of that, how much it points, even in Isaiah, it points to Christ. When it talks about, you know, sharing your bread with the hungry, we talk about how that means not only just feeding them, but you look at when Jesus fed the 5,000, you know, shortly after that, he explained, here's the meaning of this. The meaning of this is that I'm the bread. And so when we look at things like that, we see that, yes, we need to feed the hungry, but it doesn't need to stop there. It needs to be a catalyst to sharing the gospel, because just like the living water, you know, Jesus said, to the woman at the well, you drink water and you'll be thirsty again, and I'm the living water. And so when we meet a physical need, that the goal is to meet a spiritual need, and that's the ultimate goal. So that's what I was able to learn as I looked into these verses in more detail. And then just the end of, you know, going to verses 8 through 11 and 12, looking at all the blessings that God has in store when our hearts start aligning with his, we start getting on his page and start being on mission with him. And then we see that all the blessings that he has for us. And I think all that is embedded in our walk with him and seeking him in reaching the lost, because that's what he came to do. And that's what we're here for too, if, you know, if we're Christians.
I'm glad you brought up those last verses, because you can just read through those and just every other verse is like, oh, wow, that's right. Oh, wow, that's right. Because, you know, like 10, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out of darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. I mean, the things that you do, it's not that you yourself is being bright, but Jesus is the light shining through you. He is the light that's
exactly.
So bright. And that is what a neat scripture, a passage to focus on, and that God has just drawn you to. Now let's go personal. How have you? Okay, you studied it. You wrote a study and you led some women through it in a home. Now you're leading them through it in online. But what about you personally? What have you done with it?
That's a really good question, because I was hesitant to offer it online. I even confided in a very close friend about it, and I'm like, I don't know that I need to do this yet, because it's still so conceptual. I feel like I haven't quite grasped it all myself. There's so much I still don't know. There's so much I'm still searching for. But I think the small steps for me became seeing who is around me, and what activities am I currently involved in? And we're actually tomorrow's lesson on the study is all about this. But as I go, where can I prayerfully seek to invest in another person? Because a lot of these statements in verse 6 and 7 have to do with physical issues, but there's so many around us that are hungry spiritually and are naked spiritually. They don't have Christ. They need that relationship. And so to me, what that meant was, you know, being at a PTO activity and just praying that God would allow me to get to know someone I didn't know with the purpose of trying to build a relationship with them. Or, you know, being at the soccer field and making a point to strike up a relationship or strike up a conversation and asking someone about themselves. Being at just different things that I'm already at, and instead of just staying to myself, which is so easy for me as an introvert, I have a hard time with new people and new social situations. But to just have my eyes open to asking someone just about themselves and with the purpose of how God can you use me in this person's life. If they're not saved, how can I invest in them and hopefully share Christ with them? But if they are saved, how can I help them in their walk with God or you know, whatever it is? But I think right now that's where I'm at personally, is just the conversations and the contacts that God brings in my life, making the most of them, becoming intentional with them instead of just going through my day. You know, just we get so caught up with just the day-to-day living that we don't have the mission in mind. And to me, that was a challenge to me of, am I going to have the mission in mind today with the contacts that I might have today?
That's wonderful. You know, as a mother, mine are grown for the most part, and they're off at college, but yours are still right there with you, your kids are. And they're still real young, but they also hear and they see their mother studying the Bible, going to church, doing these things. Have you seen them? Has it kind of gone over onto them where they're like, oh, Mom, we need to go talk to them, or, oh, Mom, let's do this, where they maybe not intentionally, but you can see it kind of being instilled in them, a little bit of a mission-mindedness?
I can a little bit. Actually, I think God used something my son said a while back, and I can't remember how long ago it's been. But, you know, he hears at church about sharing Christ with other people, and he asked me some kind of question. I think he was in kindergarten at that point, and he asked, what does it mean to tell somebody about Jesus? Mm. And I realized he's never seen it. You know, I've told him, but he's never witnessed it. You know, he's in Mission Friends at church, and he's hearing about it, but he's not seeing it. And that struck something in me that I'm like, you know, we're talking all about it, but he hadn't seen it. But yes, one thing that he did, you know, one day we were talking about last year in kindergarten about, you know, who would you like to invite to Vacation Bible School? And he goes, well, I think so-and-so. And I said, why? And he goes, because I was talking about church and that person asked me what church was. And I thought, that's very intuitive of him to think, you know, if this child didn't know what church was, that he thought this would be a person I should invite. So that, far, I'm definitely seeing that.
Oh yeah.
But I have a long way to go with a good example. Hopefully that they'll see my imperfect progress.
Well, they do. They watch. They really do. They watch their parents, and as they are studying their Bible and they are watching, they're going to church, and the kids are grabbing it. They'll get it more and more, especially, you know, as they get older and more mature, they'll remember back. And I think that's a great example that you're being for them. So we just have a few minutes left, Jill. So if you want, I'm just going to let you. How would you encourage the listener today, whether it be to dig into the Bible, to follow God of whatever he's prompting, how would you feel that God would want you to encourage our listeners?
I think a theme that God's really been laying on my heart lately is how important one-on-one relationships are. I just think back at the ministries of you know, big-name women like Beth Moore that have impacted me so much. But on a personal level, it's the people that have invested in me personally that have impacted my walk with God more than any Beth Moore study or any women's conference. It's the people that have invested in me. And I just look at that, and I see how Jesus did that. You know, Jesus invested specifically in the 3 and then in the 12 and in 72. And because he knew he wanted, I feel like, and this is my personal opinion, he wanted every person to feel valued. And, you know, I don't feel valued, you know, by someone who, you know, like that someone at a women's conference, because they don't know me. And so I feel like that is such is something that we need to be more intentional in, and that's seeking to disciple another person, seeking to build relationships with another person. And if we become intentional in that, and we become passionate about that, and then we pass that passion to them, and then they disciple someone, I just think we can make a huge difference for the kingdom when we become intentional in one-on-one relationships.
That's exactly right. Very much so. Well, Jill, we are like really short on time, but let me ask, your study started on Monday, but can they still join in?
Absolutely. The good thing about this study is the first couple of days were definitely a warm-up. They weren't very long. We didn't have a lot of scripture to read. Absolutely, this would be a really good time to jump in.
Okay, so how would they go about doing that?
On the MyJourneyOfFaith.com, well, probably from the MyJourneyOfFaith.com website, there is a tab that says Isaiah 58 Challenge, and then that takes them directly to the Facebook group page, and then they would request to be a member, and then we would approve them right away, and they would be in.
Awesome. So that is really neat. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jill, for joining me today. I think it's very impactful that God lays on your heart something and then you share it with others. So keep doing it. Don't let this be the last
one.
Pardon?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you letting me share the story.
Well, thank you so much. And for those of you listening, I want to thank you for joining us today. Remember, your story, it's not something to be embarrassed about or something that you think that won't count. It is there. God is using it, and he loves to share your story, which is really his story, to make him famous. And I want to leave you with one scripture that's out of Isaiah 58. It just kind of drew me, and it's verse 11, and it's, "The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry, restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." And with that, I just pray that you'll just dig into God's word and him be your continually guide and giving you water. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.